are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast. On today's show, Kim Mulkey on the move. She goes from Baylor to LSU in a huge seismic move in the women's college basketball landscape. Texas fell in the national championship in volleyball to Kentucky, and we'll hit on the Oklahoma, Texas, and Baylor spring games. We're going to touch on Oklahoma State and West Virginia tomorrow. So today we're going to do Oklahoma, Texas, and Baylor. Tomorrow we'll do Oklahoma State and West Virginia, along with some other Big 12 draft notes. Just letting you guys know, a lot of draft coverage coming up later on in the week. So just stay tuned for that. A whole lot coming. Draft week, very exciting stuff. Kind of feels like, you know, spring football season, right? Bunch of spring games and the draft. It's a good time to be a football fan in college and in pro. So hope you guys enjoy today's show. Mixed bag, basketball, volleyball, and spring football coming your way here on Locked On Big 12. All right, let's get to it. A whole lot to get to on today's show. We have to start with not really some surprising news, but, I mean, a massive shakeup in the world of women's college basketball. It was announced yesterday that Kim Mulkey, the former Baylor, now former Baylor, women's basketball coach, will be heading to Louisiana State University, LSU, where she will be the head coach there. Now, Kim Mulkey, the reason why she's heading there, she is from Louisiana. She started her coaching career at Louisiana Tech, where she played basketball. She was assistant there, associate head coach, and then she went to Baylor in 2000 and took the job there. And, I mean, this is huge. It's a huge coup for LSU, who's had some, you know, really rough times as of late. But what Kim Mulkey did with the women's basketball program at Baylor is very impressive. You could argue that this year they had, you know, I mean, they have one of the best teams in the country. They, you know, UConn, the presumptive favorite. I mean, they had a chance to beat UConn, and you know, the referees did not make the right call. But, you know, in addition to that, I mean, this is just an excellent program year in and year out. She is a three-time national champion in 2005, 2012, 2019, 12-time Big 12 regular season champion. They have won at this point, well, you know, they did win. They have a chance to win, whoever the coach is next. But they won from 2011 until 2021. So, I mean, basically 10 straight years of dominance. And, you know, just the awards go on. Two-time Coach of the Year, two-time U.S. Women's Basketball National Coach of the Year, seven-time Big 12 Coach of the Year. She's in the Hall of Fame in her home state of Louisiana. And, you know, Baylor's, you know, their record, I mean, you just look, they haven't missed an NCAA tournament in, let's see, since 2002. They have been to an NCAA tournament every single year. They have been to the Elite Eight. I mean, like, you know, they just put it this way. They're in the Elite Eight more often than they're not. Last year, Elite Eight, you know, in 19, when they last time they had a tournament, they were the champs. Sweet 16 in 2017, 2018, Elite Eight, Elite Eight, Elite Eight, Elite Eight, the five previous seasons as well. I mean, Kim Mulkey's record is absolutely fantastic, and I think a lot of people were surprised by this. This news was kind of marinating for a while about Kim Mulkey and kind of her future. She backed out of the game, the spring game, you know, making an appearance there. Scott Drew was there, but you know, this was something that was kind of brewing. And look, I think for Kim at the age of 59, you know, this is a new opportunity for her, and she's been at Baylor for two plus decades, once again three titles and countless Big 12 championships in addition to her national championship. So what she has built at Baylor is quite the legacy. And, you know, for her, I mean, their all-time, you know, win record, over what, 600 wins at this point in time, all time for her coaching record. She is 632 and 104 as a head coach, all of those at Baylor. That's an 859 winning percentage. Basically 86% of the games she coaches, she wins in. 82.7% winning percentage in conference, which is, you know, rounds up to about 83% of the conference wins. She's 291 and 61 in conference. Just a sparkling record, and, you know, one of the great personalities across women's college basketball. Maybe questionable stuff said at times, but she's a great personality, a fierce competitor. And, this is a big blow to the Big 12, losing undoubtedly the best coach in the conference. And she's going to now try her hand in the Southeastern Conference, you know, a conference that, once again, in terms of women's basketball, is, you know, it is the best. Yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say that the Pac-12, depending on the year, you know, is one of the best. Big 12 obviously had a really good season as well. But the SEC with the likes of Mississippi State and South Carolina and Texas A&M and Kentucky and Georgia, you know, all of those have great women's basketball tradition. You know, at least recently have been really good at women's college basketball. And she goes and tries to bring her Louisiana State Tigers program now to newer heights. They've really struggled in the recent years. And, you know, this move, I mean, she's already makes, what, $2 million a year, and she's probably going to end up making more than that. So there's a chance that she makes more money than Will Wade, the men's coach, which is super fascinating if that's the case. But, yeah, for LSU, they have not been – they would have been to the NCAA tournament in 2019, 2020, but they have not been to the NCAA tournament since 2016, 2017. And, you know, she has a great opportunity to kind of pick up where Nikki Fargus left off and build this program moving forward. And so I think, you know, once again, tough for the Big 12 to lose such a great coach, but she's going back home to her home state and she's trying to make a difference there. And I think a lot of people, you know, kind of this news came out, people were a bit surprised, you know, hey, probably not, you know, probably won't move. It's just kind of smoke. And then it felt like over the last 4 or 5 days, it really picked up. And now she decides to go to LSU. For more on this, guys, you can go check out the Locked On Baylor Bears podcast. That is our good friend Garrett Ross. He does that. I know he posted an episode about her 21-year career at Baylor and just kind of the situation. So go check that out if you all want more on that. One other thing I have to mention is Kentucky knocked out, or knocked off, I guess you could say, Texas in the Women's College Volleyball Championship game. It was 3-1, and Kentucky was able to get the win. I mean, this Texas team, I have to say this, you know, what a season they had. For them to do their conference play in the first half of the year, I mean, to play, you know, the conference games took place in 2020, right? And then for them to come back and play a kind of non-conference schedule and try to stay sharp in 2021 for the 2021 tournament, because their season was in two parts, was really challenging. It was very challenging. And for them to get as far as they did is very impressive. And they should be commended. I mean, I thought they were going to win the championship. I was really sure they were going to win the championship. And I think Jared Elliott was probably pretty confident too. But Kentucky just played an excellent game. Texas took the first set, and then Kentucky really refocused and then took it to them. So Kentucky gets the first championship in women's volleyball in the SEC's history. It's the only Division I sport the SEC has not won a national title in at that point, and they finally got it. Kentucky brings home the championship. So congratulations to Craig Skinner and his Kentucky Wildcats. All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, let's hit on some spring football across the Big 12 Conference. There were a bunch of spring games this weekend. We'll get to all of them when we return. But first, a word from our sponsors. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is the best place for all things sports gaming. You guys can go to BetOnline.ag right now and check out all the lines and props and spreads they have for anything from baseball to basketball to football, the NFL draft, awards, television shows, just the Oscars last night, reality TV. They've got it all covered there at BetOnline.ag. Go there today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON locked on. That's LOCKEDON locked on. And when you make your account, which is free to do, and you make your first deposit, they'll give you a 50% deposit bonus. So if you deposit $100, they give you an extra 50 to play with at BetOnline. Once again, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, over the course of the weekend, we had plenty of spring games across the Big 12. There were 5 of them. Try to get watch as much of them as I could. And so we'll start with Oklahoma. They are the champions of the Big 12, the reigning champions, so I think they deserve to get kind of the leadoff spot right now. And in their spring game, I had the opportunity to talk to Dusty Dvorak yesterday, worked with him at SiriusXM, and he was at the spring game. He called the spring game on television with Toby Rowland, And just kind of some notes that Spencer Rattler got off to a rough start. And I think about Spencer Rattler, you know, he kind of almost reminds me of, you know, I cover baseball as well, but he kind of reminds me of a pitcher like a Max Scherzer or a Steven Strasburg. Those guys sometimes take a little while to get going. Once the train's on the tracks, though, once they get going downhill, they are lethally accurate. They are, you know, very good. It's almost like the boxer that needs to kind of get punched and woken up first before they can start, you know, finding their footing and making their way. And we saw it last year. Spencer Rattler dealt with adversity splendidly. I mean, there was a lot of adversity. He had a couple poor performances. But once he ended up having that adversity, he was able to, you know, accept his benching, turn the corner, and took off from there. And that's something that he's going to have to do this year within certain games, right? It can't be a whole game performance if Oklahoma wants to reach their goals, their aspirations that they have this year, which is a national championship. And I think, first of all, they want to win a playoff game, which they have not done yet. But I mean, ultimately, people are really just chattering about this team being the Big 12's best chance so far for a championship team in the college football playoff era. The things I'm looking for Spencer Rattler are, number one, he likes to get on the move, especially going to that right side. So I want to see what he does, you know, continues with that. I want to see if that's a trend or if he's going to be more comfortable, especially setting his feet, and just kind of see how those two things play out. Holding the ball. Want to see if he's better at holding the ball. And he holds the ball sometimes, not because he doesn't know where to go with it. It's because he wants to make a play. And sometimes he'll look at a receiver and think, okay, if he can create a little bit of space, then I can put this ball in there. Just need a little bit. And sometimes he, you know, he's got a rocket for an arm and he really can't fit it in some tight windows. But sometimes he overestimates a bit, I think, of his own abilities and thinks just the smallest windows he can fit into when he really doesn't have to play like that. So I would say that's one big note is Spencer Rattler. You know, how does he hold on to the ball? Will he work on that? And one thing he can do is, you know, using his feet to extend plays. One thing that Kyler Murray was really good at was, and I know Spencer's not quite the athlete that Kyler was, but he can run a little bit, is that Spencer Rattler, you know, can take 2 or 3 yards or 4 or 5 yards sometimes and not just try to, you know, sometimes you roll out, you have a little bit of a window to get 3 or 4 or 5 yards, pick up that yardage. Don't just try to extend the play and hope a receiver gets open. That's kind of where I'm thinking, you know, hey, if you can get the yardage, pick it up and live to fight another down. No need to force a ball in or, you know, try to make the heroic play. You don't always need to do that, especially with how good and well-rounded this offense can be. Paying attention to the offensive line, I thought the defense did a good job putting heat. We know this defense is going to be good, especially that front for OU. Thought the defense did a good job getting some heat, and that offensive line is going to have to figure things out, right? Without their leader, Creed Humphrey, they're going to have to find their way this season. And I think that's a challenge for them. But it does have a chance to be a very veteran group, so I think there is a good opportunity for them to mold and mesh together and get that continuity that they want at this point in time. The receivers are something that we have to really pay attention to. They've got a great core with Mims and Weiss and Mario Williams. Talking to Gabe Eicher, who played there, said, you know, the comparisons are Tyreek Hill light. I mean, not as fast as Tyreek Hill, but kind of just the game-breaking ability. Jaden Hazelwood made an awesome catch, a one-handed grab, and he's got to be their big target on, in terms of their offense. He's got to be their jump ball type guy because they've got a lot of speed on this team. They don't necessarily have a go-up-and-get-it guy, and I think with his size and his athleticism coming off that knee injury, he's got to be able to find as best form as he can. I'm not sure if he's 100% back yet with a knee injury, so we'll see. But defense looked sharp, I thought, put a lot of pressure on, you know, forced a couple of mistakes, and I think they're going to be in great shape on this defense from the outset. And I think another thing to mention as well is the running back, go back to the offense really fast, the running back position, obviously no Seth McGowan, but how they manage that situation. Lincoln Riley had awesome things to say about Eric Gray's performance, transfer from Tennessee, about how he did. So monitoring that. And once again, not overreacting to the spring game. We'll say one note is that talking to Dusty Dvorak, he really did like the way that Caleb Williams played the five-star coming in behind Spencer Rattler. You know, I watched a lot of tape and gave him a lot of manageable throws, and he made a lot of them. He does not quite have the zip, not quite the zip that Rattler has, but he is a plus athlete. He is more of a well-rounded athlete, I would say, than Spencer Rattler is, and he's going to be a damn good player down the line. I really do think that for Oklahoma. Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best-tasting, best-for-you protein bar in the game today. Go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15, for 15% off on your next purchase. They've got 18 awesome flavors. They are low-calorie, very delicious protein bars, all covered in chocolate. There is something for everybody at BuiltBar.com. Once again, promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. All right, another spring game, another big one. It is Texas. The Longhorns had their spring game. Things that stuck out to me, Bijan Robinson. He had one run, a touchdown run, where it looked like he was about to fall over and then teleported his way into the end zone. It looked like LeSean McCoy, just kind of the way he was able to run, running east-west, and then just, I don't love it when guys do that, but when you're that quick and you can find the gap and then hit it that hard, I'm okay with it. When you're one of those guys who's just got the patience to let it develop and then go, that's totally fine. And Bijan Robinson might be that guy who's got that combination of speed and power. And don't forget about the quickness, too. He's got plenty of quickness. The quarterbacks, the mixed bag. I think Casey Thompson is further along than Hudson Card is. And by kind of all indications, that's kind of what the reporters and people covering the team believe at this point, is that those guys are kind of ahead, really, of the curve. Casey Thompson is kind of ahead of the curve, right? Wondering how they're going to replace things on defense. Obviously, wide receivers is a question, and there's not too much we can glean from this game, but just kind of some of those notes. I think running back depth is big for them. I think Casey Thompson's kind of leader in the clubhouse in terms of quarterback, and also, too, I think this project at Texas for Sark does not look 110% like he wants it to until much later down the line. I think we're talking about, you know, a year, 2 years. They did have some patience there with that situation. So not a whole lot to mention on Texas spring game. Baylor spring game, was able to catch some of that this past weekend. And their offensive line, you could already tell the spring game, is not looking great at this point. They're going to have to move the pocket a whole lot. And I think Jacob Zeno is a guy who can do that. But there were struggles on that side of the ball, on the offense, interceptions, turnovers, incompletions, drops. They've got a whole lot to work on offense. And I talked to Garrett Ross this past Friday about it. So you guys can go check out that interview in your podcast feeds. But we talked about their struggles kind of in that category and what it's going to take for Dave Aranda to get it moving forward. All right, I'm going to talk about the West Virginia and Oklahoma State spring games tomorrow. Did not get to watch a whole lot of those. So I want to make sure I check those out before I kind of give you guys a full breakdown. Plenty of NFL draft coverage coming this week. On Wednesday, we'll really turn the corner and talk about the guys that could go. We have a couple that will go day one for the Big 12. And then talk about the guys that could go day one. And I think Creed Humphrey is the one guy we're kind of looking at to say, hey, could he be the guy that is the third Big 12 player taken in that first round? So we'll dive into all of that. We're going to have plenty of draft coverage. A lot of friends coming on the show this week to join us and just talk about all of those things in their variety. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at LOBig12. You can follow me at Josh Neighbors_. And until next time, my friends, please stay safe.